rich black woman.
Hey, RBWs, welcome to the Rich Black Woman podcast. And I am joined by my seasonal co-host this summer to talk about the soft life, Marissa Lee. Marissa, as you guys know, is the founder of So Evolve, an HR firm that specializes in leadership development and life management. And she's a believer, author, time wealth strategist, career activist, and global human resources leader. She's committed to creating time wealthy and life healthy leaders, which makes her the perfect person to have this conversation with in regards to the soft life in our midsummer soft life conversations. And so welcome, Marissa, for another discussion on the soft life.
Yes. Hey, y'all. Hey.
So part two of our series that we've kicked off this summer and discussing the movement and the embracement of Black women to the soft life and what it means for us and how exciting this new movement and revolution is for us. So in this episode, we wanted to talk about what is the hard life and in contrast to the soft life, and how has it influenced the experience of Black women like us in and out of work? So within our work, the place where we are most of the time, and then outside in our lives, our personal lives, our family lives, our relational lives. And so we're going to talk about the contrast and why this is really caught on in the hearts and minds of Black women. So I'll open it up to you, Riss. What does this question mean to you?
Yeah. So when I think about the hard life, I think about how the hard life was given to us and it wasn't our inheritance. And let me explain that. And I want to use a quote from Malcolm X. I'll probably use a couple of quotes from him. But the quote around the most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. The most neglected person in America is the Black woman. And I sat with that when I was thinking about the hard life and how, when I think about our experience, it's always associated oftentimes, I don't want to use the absolute of always, but a lot of the times associated with disrespect, neglect, and being unprotected. And as we navigate the intersection of being Black and woman, we face disparities, struggles, and unrealistic expectations, even from our youth. And to reference Malcolm X again, he had a speech that called out some questions that highlighted how we've been embracing the hard life. So he said, "Who taught you to hate the color of your skin? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet?" And that highlights a couple of things. It shows how we were taught not to love ourselves. And as we, you know, established on the last episode, self-love is foundational to live in the soft life. You have to be able to love yourself to attract and embrace softness when it comes to you. And we have to feel worthy of that softness. And unfortunately, we sometimes find ourselves in the space where we reject softness because it's foreign to us. Which brings me to the second point. Our experiences, whether it's always having to save the day at work or never being able to make a mistake, we aren't allowed to cry, or that shows like we're weak. We are always expected to endure all types of treatment and situations and still smile and accept it. So similarly, it can show up in relationship forms as well. And when you haven't dealt with the trauma of those experiences, it can trigger that in your personal relationships and your professional relationships. And that can come from not feeling you have the safety in that relationship to be able to put down your shield, and you start putting up, you know, more barriers, which then attracts the hardness of life versus allowing people to support and help you along the way. And I think this is why it's really important to make sure you're surrounded in the right environment that nurtures softness. You're connected with the right people that nurture softness, whether it's your personal relationship or professional relationship, because that's going to make sure that you can embrace those things. Safety and a willingness to lovingly work through all the different seasons you may have will allow you to be able to nurture the softness in life. And I think that's really important as we look to reject the hardness of life. You have to first understand how it came to us and then how it continues to manifest. And once you understand that, then you can look to replace that with softness.
Okay, sis took it to Malcolm X, y'all. Y'all didn't know that, okay? But I think it's so key and it's appropriate to talk about the history and to remind us what we talked about in the first episode, that foundation of self-care, like you said, and understanding the framework and the mindset and the hard life trauma that has brought drama with it, that has prevented us in many ways to be soft, to embrace softness. And I love what you said about our inheritance. And we're going to talk about this in a future episode, but it gave me some biblical undertones of what it means to inherit the garden, inherit rest. And we have been subjugated to not be able to have rest because in this society, all those things have been placed on us to endure, like you said, to be there for everyone else except ourselves. And then what's so crazy is that we get penalized for being the strength that we've had to take on, right? We're penalized and we are labeled that we are, you know, the opposite of what is our God-given birthright, our inheritance as daughters, as women. And when you talk about being disrespected and being unprotected, part of embracing the soft life is not only recognizing all of that, but then trying to do the opposite, right? So what are the ways that we need to respect ourselves? What are the ways that we need to protect ourselves? We talked about boundaries last time. And so I love that, that theme and that thread we're seeing as we continue on and do a deeper dive into this conversation. In terms of how I'd also respond to what the hard life is, I'm in complete agreement. And I also agree when you touched on sometimes if you've only been operating in hard life mode, to your point, you don't know how to dial it down. Yep. You know, you don't have that lack, you may have that lack of awareness. And so someone may approach you and you already ready to go. You are
I'm like, ready.
What? You know, it's like, whoa, sister, calm down. Okay. Now you understand it because so many of us have had that trauma. It's like a trauma vibration. And so that's why this conversation and this movement is necessary, because I think we're realizing that and we're saying, hey, you know what? Let's retrain our bodies, our minds, our spirits to embrace a different, softer vibration. And it doesn't mean, because we know this life is hard, that there are real things that you need to be concerned about, that you do need to keep your head on a swivel to protect yourself and your family. We're not saying to stick your head in the sand. What we're saying is, how do we develop a soft life awareness so that you can have the appropriate soft life experience and interactions with others at the appropriate time? So you're not coming into it, what, you know, all the time. And you're balanced. You're balanced. We need that soft life balance. So I completely understand that. And I think that we have to reject those musings of the hard life that were wrongly placed on us. And we are in a unique time and position where we can reject those because we do have a bit more power and equity when it comes to working and compensation. And we're sharing information with one another. We're encouraging one another. We have that richness that we're be able to share and observe in our other sisters. And we're motivating each other And we're corralling each other to come together in a soft life sisterhood and to embrace that. So I love that. So we talked about how the hard life has influenced our experience and how we need to reject that. We're going to talk and give you some tips in a little bit of how just to do that. I want to know from you, Riss, you know, how does understanding what's meant for you help you lean into the soft life?
Yeah, that's a good question. Listen, so sometimes we bring the hard life to us chasing what isn't ours in the first place. And the other day I shared with my community about returning to a situation that God had freed me from. And I know we're going to talk about the biblical aspect in the future, but I had to tell the story. So I was in a situation and where at that time I was reading the scriptures about when the children of Israel, the Lord delivered them from Egypt, and they wanted to go back because they felt it was going to be delivered. I mean, they felt that it was going to be better for them to be there other than where they were at that time. And I kid you not, as I was reading that and I was going through my own situation and from a relationship perspective, I heard God, just as I'm talking to you, say, don't reattach change I broke for you. So he said, don't reattach change I broke for you. Now, for some context, I'm going to put y'all in my business just a little bit. Like, y'all can't stay, but just a little bit. You get a little bit so you can understand what was going on. I was talking to someone at the time, and I was very much my man. I really liked him. He was nice. He was affirming. He was growing spiritually. You know, we were in different places spiritually, but he was very easy to talk to, and I felt like he was my best friend. However, I saw some flags and I convinced myself red was green as we played this game of back and forth of, you know, it was toxic in certain regards of off and on, off and on. And I just have to be real about that. And long story short, I didn't listen and I found myself in the wilderness. And now, there were other things that were going on that I didn't listen about, but that was one of the main things, and it wasn't what I wanted. And listen, the disobedient wilderness life is not what you want. And side note, just talking about disobedience, because I think somebody's going to need to hear this. Partial obedience is disobedience. Almost obedience is disobedience. Incomplete obedience is disobedience. And I know I'm like laughing about it, but I'm so serious, because you don't want to delay or lose your promise wandering in the wilderness and looking back like Lot's wife. And we'll get on that on a different day, but you don't want to miss out what's yours, and you don't want to bring hardness to you because you're going against what was set for you. And so I had chose a path God never intended for me to walk. So then I had to endure until the opportunity came for me to make a better decision. So while I was waiting for that better decision, I mean, to have that opportunity for that, I struggled. I struggled with old and new and personal and professional relationships until I got right and with God and myself in regards to the decisions that I made. So, life is hard enough on its own. And I encourage you to walk in obedience so you can embrace the softness that was meant for you. And for anybody wondering, I am out of the wilderness and walking in purpose, still single, but all glory to God that he's bringing my man soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Make sure you do that Sierra prayer. Okay. Do that Sierra prayer. No, so it's funny that you bring up relationships. I think a lot of women probably can relate to that area. And when I reflected on this question about, you know, understanding what's meant for you and how that can actually help you to attain more softness, I think about just the culture change right now. And over the last decade, the prominence of social media and how it has inflected what we know about other people that we never would know about them. Yeah. And because of that, we have too much information, but also too little information yet we make a judgment about other people's lives, what they have, what they don't have, and then we compare ourselves to what we see. And yeah. that's often what we see is often a myth. It's often a lie. There's often a veneer on that and a haze that isn't 2020 vision. And so, but what ends up happening is that we allow that to mess up our mental health and our emotional health and compare ourselves to that in a negative way. And we feel like we're behind. We feel like we don't have enough. We start to feel isolated, forgotten. We don't think we have an inheritance. And so I would really right. look at this as something, if you're going to embrace the soft life, you need to also protect your imagery. You need to protect what's coming into your body, your mind, your spirit, your soul, because taking on the soft life is a battle. It's a battle. Yeah. Some might say it's a spiritual battle. It's one that incorporates needing to trust. And so when I think about trusting and believing what's yours is yours, is trusting in your journey, as long as you are feeling aligned to what you've been called to do, and you feel like you're walking in purpose and faith. And what do I mean by that? So if you're doing all the things to take care of yourself and walking, doing those soft life habits, and there's outstanding things that you want to still happen, like if you're single, if you want to be married, if you want to lose weight, if you want to get a promotion, you know, I'm just talking about the things that many times are those areas that people are wanting still in their lives, then trust the process. If you are doing the things that you can do, you should do everything you can do in your power, but then you still stand. And so something that I have done more recently is I have been doing social media Sabbaths. And so turning off social media, I don't get on the app or whatever apps are problematic for you. And I do this from Friday through Monday evening at 6 p.m. And the reason that I do that is because I want to be able to say that I am spending more days living life than seeing others live their life. And so if that's an issue for you, I would definitely encourage you to try this and see if it brings more softness to your life. There's a way that social media, I feel like, is unhealthy, and it's creating hardness in us, a harshness as well. We evaluate situations with a knee-jerk reaction. You know, we only saw 10 seconds of the video. We didn't see the pre and the post, and then we get hoodwinked, and homegirl wasn't kidnapped when she told us. You know, so like, we need to hold up, folks, and not be emotionally yo-yo too. You know, social media wants to yo-yo you. It's literally that puppet imagery that you see where there's the puppet master and he's got Pinocchio on his strings, and you know, woo, I can make this algorithm or this post like jump off the charts. And so all of Black America is riled up about this particular issue, or all of the conservatives are riled up about this issue. And it's like, we got to step back and control what's coming into our minds, because a lot of what's coming into our minds and our hearts is hard life. It is harshness. And you need to slow it down, realize what's going on, and step into your soft life and focus on your life. That's a part of softness as well. So that's my two cents on understanding what's meant for you. You also need to protect what's meant for you too.
I love that. And I love your concept around social media Sabbaths. So I do something not to that extent. I just took a note. I'm like, oh, I need to add that to what I do. But it's like living life offline and really speaking about how to do that and how to monitor. I have time limits on my apps where it's like 2 hours, like combined a day for all of the social media platforms, because they're creating new ones every day. Like, we just got on Threads, right? And before you know it, it's used as a distraction to keep you from doing the things that you want to do, like you said. And then you're getting fed things that you shouldn't be getting fed. And then you're not focusing on the things that you need to be getting done. So then it's like, it's like that never ending cycle, and it keeps you on the on the wheel of just going over and over again on things that you want to get done, but then you don't have time to do it because you wasted your time on these other things. And the aspects, again, of like you were mentioning with the social media is so important, just to make sure you can guard your eyes, your ears, and what you end up saying about it in connection to the things that you see. So I really love that point around social media, habits, and protecting yourself and protecting your soft life.
Absolutely. So how does living richly and time wealthy help us to reject the hard life? I mean, we touch on it, but from your time wealthy perspective, Riss, how does that help us reject the hard life?
Yeah, I would say the hard life taught me I wanted more out of life. And so I got to the point, I was tired of being tired. I was tired of living beneath my means, because as I mentioned earlier, this is a part of our inheritance. And time wealth came into my life when I was drowning professionally and personally. And I was under attack on all fronts. And I remember talking to God and asking for peace and freedom from that situation. And as it always is when it comes to God, He did exceedingly abundantly above in regards to the situation, and just leveraging that to continue to position and propel me to, one, live freely, but also help others do the same. And one of the components of time wealth is self-management. So it really looks at understanding relationship with time, how you use it, how others use it, why you use it the way you use it, what season are you in when it comes to time, etc. And with that, it helps you get clarity on what you need from others and yourself. And the rest of the time wealth wheel helps you further understand how to stand on your values and for your boundaries, how to prioritize and appropriately utilize your capacity, and how to optimize your time and energy to ensure whole life harmony. And that gives you the conviction, clarity, and confidence you need to embrace what's in service to you and what aligns with what's bringing softness into your life. But let's be clear, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it won't be hard. And what I mean by that is sometimes you will have to defend, like you were mentioning earlier, you will have to protect your soft life. But what time wealth does, it helps you live and lead the life you deserve and desire. So it gives you the tools and the insights to be able to put up that fortress and protect yourself and let the right things in and keep the wrong things out.
Yeah, that's good. And it's amazing how these things tie into soft life, living richly and time wealthy, and protecting. We see this constant theme, like going back to kind of your Malcolm X quote, like these are ways to protect ourselves. And we have to protect right. ourselves first, in order also to understand and to teach others to protect us and to self-respect and to respect us as well. We have to have those foundational understandings. For me, as far as living richly, I think that living richly is a precursor to the soft life. It's a mindset. It's a practical way of living and looking at your life, because we're all about abundance here. I thought about kind of the analogy of looking at things in your life and understanding if they are bringing good to your life, if they are extracting too many resources. For example, if you are a diamond and someone is coming in to take your diamonds, are they extracting too much so that you will collapse from that minefield? Or are they replenishing it? And so you're this rich diamond. And so look at your life and hold things up to that. Like, is this extracting from my diamond mind? Or is it also replenishing as well, so that I'm not losing anything? I'm not at deficit. So definitely, I think we need to protect and make sure we're not exploited. Also looking at maybe ways we are exploiting ourselves, allowing others to exploit us, because historically that's been the case. And so reclaiming that, I think there's a way that some of us have gotten comfortable and used to Black women being exploited and thereby co-signing on it, co-signing on behavior or co-signing on seeing Black people suffer. Like, this country and the culture is very much okay with seeing Black suffering, which is why this is an act of resistance and falling in line with the soft life, because we're rejecting that and we're saying, no, we are humans and this is a part of our humanity, and we should be able to enjoy the softness and the rest of life just like anybody else, that we're worthy and valuable for that. So that would be my thoughts on how living richly is a way to reject the hard life. So as we like to do and kind of give some real practical tips on what advice we'd give on breaking up with the hard life, because we've had a really toxic relationship as Black women with the hard life, and the jig is up. It's time to look at all the red flags from the culture and those that we've adopted. Break up. We're divorcing the hard life, ladies. And so how do we do that?
Yeah. So when I think about that, I want everyone to make sure they're stepping into their soft life. And so I want to give you four steps so you can strut on into that. And the first one is to reflect on and affirm why you are deserving of the soft life. And Yaz talked about it earlier, just really understanding and having that mindset on being able to embrace the soft life. And you have to affirm that for yourself. And you have to reflect on why that is important for you and why you deserve that. And that's the first step. If you can't get past that, it's going to be hard, because as we talked about earlier, if you have always lived a hard life, it's going to feel foreign to you and you're likely to reject softness that is coming to you. The second step would be list what you do regularly and classify each item in connection with, is it supporting a hard life or a soft life? And then the third point is celebrate the things that you see that are part of the soft life and that's supporting them, and see what learnings you can take from that of where you already have that established. And once you have understood and identified those learnings, that takes me to step four, you want to take those and apply those to areas where you currently are living the hard life and see how you can leverage that to shift where you're living the hard life into the soft. So it could be setting a boundary. It could be disconnecting with people, places, or things. Whatever you need to do, you want to apply what you are currently doing positively to embrace the soft life, and put some things in place to reject the hard.
Those are good. Those are really good tips. I love that. They build on each other. And I would add to that as well, you know, in practical terms, some of the things you can think about are where are the areas of struggle for a lot of people. Number one, I think finances. And so are there ways where you just have felt like it's my lot in life as a Black woman to struggle financially? Doing an audit and assessment, are there some ways that I could upskill? Are there some different fields that I could translate my skill set to? Is there a business, that idea that I have, that I need to explore? And I need to take a risk maybe and explore that and get tools and ask for help to pursue this business idea. So I think looking at ways that, one, you can alleviate some of those hardships and like a real practical manner. And I remember hearing someone say, everything is not about money. And this person was a privileged person and they were making a comment about somebody else making a comment. Hey, and this person was encouraging these women to pursue like nurse practitioner roles and higher paying nurse roles. And this other person said, everything is not about money, but we can be honest and say that having more money often allows you to enjoy more of the soft life. Stress is often around not having enough. And we know that for us as Black women, that's even more of a stressor. The average salary for a Black woman in the United States is just over $36,000. That is not enough in today's economy. And so what are ways that you can leverage your talent, your God-given gifts to make more money so you can enjoy more of the soft life? And thinking creatively and asking, you know, if you're a spiritual person, asking God to give you wisdom on how to increase your finances, how to have that abundance. And that's just real practical, you know, coming from rich Black woman. So we don't talk about that because we want you to live richly. Okay.
Okay.
And then some of us, we talked about, we have been traumatized by the hard life. And so even when someone approaches us, as Riss was talking about, softly, and it could be a relationship, someone talking to us, whatever, and we reject that almost intuitively, subconsciously, and then we realize and we're like, oh, why did I do that? So, you know, another step is, do you need coaching? Do you need some self-awareness? Do you need some healing? Do you need some help and assistance so that you can have a different response when something or someone is coming into your life and giving you an opportunity to experience more softness, that you don't reject the good? And I say this because, you know, not to bring up social media, but this was actually a really good post. And it was a psychologist talking about a client that had apparently, and you know, sometimes with social media, you don't know what's true or what's not true, but we'll look at the moral of the story. So this woman was approached by a gentleman who kind of impromptu wanted to take her out on an ice cream date. And she replied back that she was a grown woman. How dare you ask her to go on an ice cream date? What kind of thing is this? Like, we need to be have some, like, some plans for me. You should have planned this and yada, yada. Meanwhile, like, it seemed like the guy was a really nice guy. And it was interesting to look at the comments because, like, my first reaction was like, oh, you know, I thought, oh, I think that's so cute. Like, an ice cream date.
I think it's cute too.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go on an ice cream date with my husband. Let me go. I'll talk to him. So, and, but you could see her hurt, right? Like, she had this idea that was kid-like and it wasn't adult enough or something. And you could see how this gentleman was trying to bring like some fun, some playfulness, but because she was used to the hard life or had some preconceived notion of what a soft date or good date is supposed to look like, she rejected this kind of fun, whimsical ice cream date. And therefore missed out on potentially maybe someone who was a really great person. So we all have our examples of things like that, unfortunately, but hopefully we grow from them. So I say that to say that sometimes you need some coaching and awareness and you need to get help and admit too. We need to be humble and admit like, ooh, that wasn't good. I wish I hadn't done that. How can I have a different response and reaction? So any final thoughts before we close?
I'm up here like, I want my ice cream date.
I know, right? And it's hot. It's over here in triple digits.
Okay. And there's so many types of ice cream. But yeah, but to your point, all joking aside, it's just really making sure we're mindful of how do we keep ourselves open to be able to receive that. And even in that situation, if your initial insight is it was ice cream for her, but it could be something else for you, right? Pausing just to reflect as you are looking to create the soft life, embrace the soft life and say, okay, and what is my reaction to this? Is it because it's foreign to me and I'm viewing it through the lens of the hard life? Or am I viewing this through the lens of the soft life and this situation or person, they trying to get over or play me in some type of way? But at least taking that moment to pause and reflect so you can really understand, are you just giving a reaction to something or is this the right steps to be able to take? I would add that as you continue to go forward.
Absolutely. So good. This has been such a rich and time wealthy conversation on the topic of the soft life. Ladies, we hope that you tune into our next episode. We'll be continuing this conversation further. And you can definitely hit us up on social medias. Riss, where can everybody find you?
I am Marissa Lee on all the platforms.
Awesome. There you have it. And you can find me at Rich Black Woman. And until then, live richly.